You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening, watching, paying attention to the most inappropriate pro wrestling show. We're going to talk so much today about stuff, man. There's so much stuff going on in wrestling, even though there's no crowds, which is crazy because you're still WWE's still setting up for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. But at the same time, they have to worry about WrestleMania due to COVID-19 things going on in California, which we'll get into. More releases from the WWE came this week, but also there's some fallout from that, be it things superstars are saying to shirts that these guys have going up on pro wrestling tees now to help support their career, which are doing amazing. We're going to get into all that and more this week as we
break the ring down.
Woo! You don't know what hard times are, Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
You just made the list.
This right here is a fan.
Hey, this is professional wrestler and professional podcaster Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
My name is Killer Cross.
This is the Smoke Show, Scarlett Bordeaux.
What's up, guys? The F Machine, Brian Cage.
This is Ryan from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Sadly, you are not listening to The Art of Wrestling, but you made a decent choice because you're listening.
You are now listening to...
And you're listening.
And you're listening to...
You listen to Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring. Bring it down.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are paying attention to the most inappropriate pro wrestling show in the motherfucking world. You're listening and watching and paying attention to Breaking Down the Ring. We are your ring crew.
Hey, Smitty. Oh, I'm on a little bit of a delay here.
Christ. You're on a delay?
It's like a little lag.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Koenig 19
and me, the all Mikey one, Mikey himself.
That's a good one.
Koenig 19 may have been the best intro you've ever given yourself. I have to give you that. That's fucking amazing. Look, we're gonna start off, man, talking about a dark week in professional wrestling. Oh, well, a dark week for WWE because WWE released quite a few wrestlers, producers. Excuse me, man, that's Pepsi.
COVID check.
Nope, still good.
Sweet.
Still immune. Yeah. So WWE released quite a few people this week, and therefore it caused a major buzz around wrestling, be it the fans, be it the people who are very close with them in family and in good friends. And we're going to run down this list again. We already talked about it earlier this week, especially right after it happened, because we were getting we wanted to get the reaction of us and let you guys know that we're paying attention. Obviously, we don't just do this show. We pay attention the entire week, even though we only do a weekly show. So the names that were announced originally when we talked, Leo Rush, for wrestlers, start off with, Leo Rush, Eric Young, Heath Slater, Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins, Drake Maverick, EC3, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, Sarah Logan, Eric Rowan, Epico and Primo, Maria and Mike Kanellis, No Way Jose, and Rusev. For the producers, Kurt Angle was actually released. The rest are on furlough, so that means they'll come back when wrestling is back at its they're able to pay them like this, I guess, or have full live shows where they need these people on the road. Billy Kidman Mike Rotunda, Pat Buck, Fit Finley, Sean Daivari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms, and Lance Storm. The coaches that were released was Chris Guy. Aiden English was the announcer that was released, and Mike Chioda was the referee. What happened slowly after that were Andrea Listenberg from Creative. I think we may have spoken about her on the show, on the quick little blurb that we did. She's the one, yeah, we did. She's the one who did the Otis and Mandy storyline. Then Jerry Soto was an announcer that was furloughed. And then Serena Deeb was one of the coaches. She's the NXT women's coach that was let go. And maybe furloughed. I don't know. As far as the wrestlers that were then let go, Dan Matha and Dorian Mack, who is Dorian Mack, Alyssa Marino, Nick Camarado, who is Nick Ogarelli, Tainara Conti, who got fame in the second, I believe it was, Mae Young Classic. And that's the one where Renee Young and Natalia made jokes that they had a kid. And that's who it was, Tainara Conti. Mars Wang, Cesar Bononi, Tino Sabatelli, Cassius Ohno, Hussein Aldegal, Edgar Lopez, Fasel Curdy, Marcus Gomez, Muhammad Fahim, and Rocky. So there's been, again, quite a few of these wrestlers that were released, and there's a lot of fallout. Nick, with the new names, obviously there's some a few that most are, you know, not probably just people in the system. But then you have big ones like Cassius Ohno, who, you know, has gone around with NXT. They even let Evolve use Cassius Ohno. Then there's Tino Sabatelli, who had a decent type of little bit of tag team run-ish until there were some injuries on TV. And so now we're getting into a few more names that we know. Is there anything on there or any thoughts that you have on some of those bigger names, ish names being let go?
Mostly just Cassius Ohno. I'm not really familiar with all the, a lot of the other names and where they've been. But I think Cassius was definitely under in WWE, so that to me is the biggest one that sticks out right now.
Smitty?
The one that kind of stuck out to me was Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's funny how you had a lag earlier, and all of a sudden you answered right away when I asked the question this time.
No, because I'm using my second phone on the hotspot, and it's taking a minute for it to catch up. It took a minute to catch up. For my Chromebook. But Deonna Purrazzo, because Deonna Purrazzo, like Nick said, Cassius Ohno, Deonna Purrazzo's been around the block on the indie circuit. And I was kind of surprised that they let her go, especially the fact that she's been showing up on Raw for the last couple of weeks.
Okay. I guess now it's more of We're kind of sitting here because they're still announcing these layoffs. They're still talking about things that could happen in the future. And there's been a lot of stuff that's come out saying that WWE isn't just releasing them because they need to make up money. It's more so that it's to keep the profit margin as large as it is. In releasing these guys, there was an article I read that they have saved over $1 million in payroll. But it's not like WWE wasn't making profits. They actually showed one of their biggest quarterly profits in a while, and to where WWE was making like $4 million on this. So the release of these people was basically just to save that profit margin rather than, oh my God, we don't want to go in the black. We have to actually release these people, some people. So they're just more releasing people just to say, hey, no, we still made all this money. Yay. Nick, your thoughts and feelings on that?
Well, you know, we kind of talked about it last week or not last week, but when we went live earlier in the week, It's a business, man, you know, and they got to do what's best for business. You know, to quote Mr. McMahon, what's best for business?
That was more Triple H Stephanie thing.
You know, but you know what I mean, though. It just, and I hate to see all these people losing their jobs, being released, whatever their case may be, but they got to do what they got to do.
Smitty?
I don't know about that whole, I feel like something that's excused. There's some guys on that payroll that don't even show up most of the time, that you don't, you only use for events, and you pay them more than $1 million for a showing. So I'm kind of impartial about, I feel like part of that's an excuse.
What do you mean, like more than $1 million? You mean talking like Brock Lesnar and Goldberg and stuff like that?
Yeah. Why you pay some of your part-timers more?
I'm going to
you pay some of your part-timers.
Go ahead.
I'll say you pay these part-timers multi-millions of dollars. You say you're cutting all these people that don't make nearly as much to save a buck.
Okay, I'm going to go with Goldberg's done until the next time they work a contract with him. The whole reason he lost at WrestleMania is because the contract that they worked had went to WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, you think Brock Lesnar should have been let go?
Yeah.
Yeah? What? Why?
Look, I've always said
that's
this.
A bold statement. WWE's
dependence on nostalgia for ratings is that'll run out when you don't develop any more stars. And you can't depend on the past forever. You got to build the future. Yeah, Brock Lesnar,
go ahead.
Like Brock Lesnar has been out of his prime right before he went to the UFC. I feel like Brock Lesnar's been in his twilight for the last 4 or 5 years.
When he went back to the UFC or before he went to the UFC the first time?
I was like, he was in his prime when he went to the UFC the first time, and when he came back, he was kind of in the twilight of his pro wrestling days. He's been in the twilight of his pro wrestling days for the last 5 years or so.
Okay, why do you say that?
Like, I remember watching, like, you remember Brock's original feud with Kurt Angle? And they put on amazing match after amazing match after amazing match. And when Brock came back, he was one trick.
The one when he couldn't hit his shooting star press and he almost broke his neck, that one? That feud?
Once again, he had great matches with a lot of people, especially Kurt Angle back then. And when he came back, it was it was entertaining when he was doing the Suplex City the first time around, the suplexes and all that. And then it felt like after a while, it just got stale.
Brock Lesnar has had quite a few good matches with quite a few good people, including AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. And these are all matches that went longer than normal because he wanted to work with these smaller guys because he believed in them. Drew McIntyre has put over Brock Lesnar in this feud that they had, saying that him and Brock had some amazing chemistry, and they put that match together in a great way. Even that match at WrestleMania was good. Like, it made Brock was coming through looking like a fucking beast as he is, and then Drew came out with Claymore after Claymore after Claymore after reversing that fourth F5, and nothing was bad about that match. Was it similar to the other matches he's done? Yep, except for the loss part. Brock Lesnar, I don't think, is anywhere past his prime. He's still wrestling at a high level, but he's worked the contract to where he doesn't want to wrestle that long. Nick, are you in any agreement here with Smitty?
No, the way I'm kind of looking at it is, and I could be wrong, it's kind of like WWE is its own sports franchise. Like, they're the Yankees. And they have – well, okay, whatever. I just threw that out there. Sorry. they're the fucking San Diego Padres. They're releasing a lot of these guys that – they can release to free up cap space. And not to say that that's exactly what's going on, but that's the way I'm interpreting it. So Brock Lesnar being a seasoned veteran, he's still able to get in the ring. He's still able to get on the field. He's still able to get on the ice. He's still be able to perform. He's still able to help the younger guys out, get them over. So, no, I don't think that they should have released him, because that's almost like, you know, Steve Yzerman in the later part of his career, who could still play and still put up numbers and still help the team, and you're just going to release him.
Right. I mean, or if you're, you know, taking that same sport, I like that analogy. Smitty, you're saying that Brock Lesnar doesn't matter on television anymore, when he is technically still a huge draw. I mean, I think the problem is it kind of, he may have lost a little bit of luster, but hearing that it was Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, that was big talk, right? Because everyone was hoping Drew would go over and Drew would beat Brock Lesnar. Anytime Brock is in some sort of anything, it gets people talking. You might be on the end of just a wrestling fan, but I guess, see, to me, it all makes sense, right? Because I get that Brock Lesnar might dominate, but at the same time, we have asked for quite a few things that have changed since Brock's last major run with the title. We said we wanted Brock there more often. He was. We said we wanted Brock to defend the title more often. I didn't care about that, but a lot of people talked about it. He did. Brock Lesnar was a major force going into WrestleMania, going into Royal Rumble, at the Royal Rumble match. Brock Lesnar was there when Drew McIntyre couldn't be, because he was out of the country traveling, and when they brought him back, they needed to quarantine him for 14 days or however long that the government wanted. So Brock was on Monday Night Raw damn near every week doing some sort of promotion for a WrestleMania match when half the other half couldn't. That usually was the opposite way during Brock's first run with a title. So I guess I'm just kind of at a loss as to how you are saying that Brock doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, Brock just lost his luster a long time ago.
Okay. Brock Lesnar is the exact same age as AJ Styles. Brock Lesnar is still
AJ Styles, well. This is his last wrestling contract, most likely, when he's up with WWE.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's your point on that?
He's winding his career down. Maybe it's time for Brock too as well.
Smitty, there are – oh, you're talking about AJ Styles' last wrestling contract.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Brock's. But again, why? Why? I'll be honest. See, there's a huge difference with Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles. AJ Styles would do the exact same contract Brock Lesnar had if it was offered, right? He would. If you told AJ Styles that he could wrestle for this amount of money, this amount of days, AJ Styles would totally do that, because AJ Styles is more of a family man, right? You got to assume so is Brock Lesnar. Brock has to love his kids, especially his daughter that looks just like him. If AJ Styles could sit back and not wrestle as much or as often, but still get paid a pretty fucking penny, I'm pretty sure AJ Styles would take that contract, especially if he could be involved in major storylines, showing up every now and then to build it and put it there. Edge is reportedly making, what was it? What was it that Edge was announced as making? $5 million, something like that, for 5 wrestling dates and 25 appearances over 3 years?
Dang.
Like, that's, you would take that, dude. Like, that's WWE paying you because they know you're a name and they know you're a draw. It may not hit with all of them, like all of the audience, there are some people who are watching it going, who the fuck is Edge? But we're watching it going, holy shit, it's Edge. Some people
that goes back to my whole nostalgia thing.
Huh?
That goes, you just kind of proving my whole WWE depending on nostalgia.
Are they depending on nostalgia, or is Edge back after 9 years and he's still drawing ratings? That's not depending on
you nostalgia. Just said, what you just said, there are a lot of people that are probably watching right now going, who the fuck is Edge? And we, who know Edge, is like, holy shit, Edge is back.
But is Edge drawing money? Nostalgia.
Huh? But does that sound like nostalgia? Does that sound like nostalgia?
Were you excited when Edge came back?
I had the whole feel-good feeling, but I wasn't really excited.
You weren't excited because why?
Well, I just wasn't. I was an Edge fan, but when he retired, I finally got over it. When he came back, you see me able to get over it? When he came back, it was like, oh, I thought it was going to be a one-off thing. Is if he's such like, and then like his like. I don't know if he's like bound, like I don't know if I don't want him to get hurt again, because that's always a possibility in this industry. So, and I was like, I never put my expectations as high as some, a lot of people did for Edge's return. And his match at WrestleMania was kind of pulled me off the Edge boat even more.
WWE has had nostalgia as part of everything for a very long time. There's
at that point, you built further nostalgia. So let me ask you, like 5-10 years down the line, when these guys really can't go no more, who in this company's roster do you think they're going to keep pulling back for a quick ratings pop?
Who on the roster? Well, let's look at their roster, Smitty. Let's talk about how some of these. Nick, you had a point while I'm looking this up.
Well, I get what Smitty's saying when he said that eventually the nostalgia factor, that tank's going to empty, because, you know, I've mentioned it a few times before in the past how WWE's, average viewership age range is getting older and older and older. So, yeah, like in 10, 15 years from now, when guys like Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles, maybe, a lot of these guys, you know, can't come back. So, you know, right now, who's one of their most over guys? You know, okay, let's just say Drew McIntyre, just as an example. So in 15 or 20 years, I don't necessarily think people are going to look at him the same way and get as excited to see him as they are for Edge, you know.
All right. Well, in 10 years, Drew McIntyre will be 44. 2 years older than Brock and AJ are now.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll still be fine, but –
there's still guys from that are being made to look strong. Keith Lee is one of those guys from NXT that they came up, they put in the Rumble, they put in different matches, and Keith Lee looks like a fucking mammoth beast that will be handling WWE down the line. Adam Cole was put over quite well every time he came up from NXT as well. Eventually, Vince is going to have to step away. Now, granted, is it going to be within the next 10 years? Don't know. Don't fucking care. But he has been shown to have put guys over. Granted, there's quite a few talent that haven't gotten over very well in WWE from call-ups from NXT. But look at the ways the Street Profits are being used right now. They're being used very well. You know, Bianca Belair is put over like a fucking beast as far as the women's division goes.
I feel like they're starting to put her into a managerial role way too quick on Raw.
Or they're putting her into a role of getting her on TV really quick in a good way, similar to what they did with the Street Profits when they brought them up and just had them cutting promos all the time. It was you keep them on TV, you make them entertaining, you make people want to get into it, and then eventually you put them into the spot where they deserve. Right now, they're the Raw Tag Team Champions. We were watching them cut promos week after week after week after pay-per-view after week after week after pay-per-view, right? For like 3 months before they did anything. And then
they had one match in between those promos.
I'm referring to really doing anything as far as skyrocketing in the tag team division.
Oh, yeah, because I feel like WWE finally learned a lesson about burying a whole tag team division under one team before putting the titles on them.
You really think that? You really think Vince McMahon has learned his lesson on destroying tag teams?
No.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get that logic out of your head, because that's what you were just trying to run with.
No, it wasn't. I was just like things, what they did with the Street Profits is the first time they did something non-similar, like what they did with the Viking Raiders, where you pretty much had them dominate the tag team division, put the titles on them, so when they lost it, they pretty much lost a lot, almost all the steam they had behind them coming up.
I don't think the Viking Raiders lost all their steam. They were just on Raw two weeks or last week. Yeah, it was last week on Monday. They looked fucking amazing.
Okay, so after they lost those titles, what did you really have the Viking Raiders doing after that? You had nothing for them after they lost those titles.
Or you
just kind of threw them.
If you pull them off, we've always talked about it. We've always said that WWE is either really great at making you not remember certain things or really bad at it, or destroying teams. Pulling them off of television shortly after their loss, even though there were sometimes you saw them and they were still very dominant in certain situations, still had them look, you still remembered them, but you pull them away and then it's like, all right, where are they at? And then when they come back, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, this is about to be a fucking bat. They're about to go at it. And they took on Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, if I'm not mistaken, this week. And
yeah, two guys. I actually like the game.
Right, but it was two guys that were put together and they had a good few segment match against the Viking Raiders. They didn't look weak and the Viking Raiders still look strong. There's still a whole – you can't complain, Smitty, that people are being pushed down your throat and then get mad when they're actually using a team or a wrestler correctly. And I think they're using the Viking Raiders really well. Nick?
Well, and right now, I mean, things are just so up in the air with that company, with everything.
Yeah.
That if the Viking Raiders aren't on TV for a couple weeks, or, you know, whoever the fuck you want to say isn't on TV for a couple weeks, and I don't think that, I mean, me personally, I'm not going to be quick to be like, well, WWE is misusing them now, or now they're cramming them down my throat. And, you know, I think it's just, we're in a weird state right now to make any kind of call like that.
That's a good point. So, okay then, Smitty. how do you feel about, and this is, I guess we just sidecasted away from WWE's releases. How do you feel about the New Day winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles this week again?
Kind of impartial about it, because for the first time, like, I wasn't excited about a New Day win. Why? I feel like you know, I'm a big fan of the New Day, and I'm a big fan of Big E. I feel like that was the title change, just to have a title change at that point. I feel like there was no real meaning besides the fact that commentary just tried to be like, oh, now the New Day are 8-time champs. I feel like there was no significance in that title change.
Okay, so, but are you in the same thing of, why are these guys running with the belts when we should be putting future stars up?
The only future stars in that tag division I really see were Heavy Machinery, and they got them already in a storyline somewhere.
Okay, so who do you see as a singles line, a singles future star?
Like, I don't really see anybody on that main roster, really. All the stars I think that they have are down at NXT, really.
Okay, so how are you then now complaining about using nostalgia when you don't have anyone to use right now that is standing out above the crowd?
That's what – this kind of proved my point. Like, now 10, 15 years down the line, who's going to be that nostalgia factor that you pull for ratings?
I just
– that was my whole point. Those NXT guys – once again, like you said, that's not going to happen until you probably see Vince step away.
To make legends that come back to wrestle in 10 years? Sorry. The people that you bring back in 10 years are the people that are stars now.
And
the people that are running things now. AJ Styles is one of those people that you could bring back in 10 years to have a fucking match. Because if AJ Styles, because in all honesty, a lot of people have stopped wrestling the way that they used to, so their careers can last longer. There's somebody in everything that you can bring back in 10 years to have pops and put in spots. Simple as that. There's no running out of things. The people that are winding down, like wrestling, man, is you had Ric Flair going in WWE till WrestleMania, what, 21?
24.
24? Like, and then he still went on in TNA, and Ric was like 60 then. If you need to pull out things for these people, and Ric was 60 wrestling after wrestling when it was, you're on the actual road, these mats aren't a lot of give. I fucking survived a plane crash, right? Like, Ric Flair, and he was still putting on good matches. That match with Shawn and him, his retirement match in WWE, was an amazing match to watch. It was wonderful. It had so much emotion and things that just happened that normally never were pulled out. The nostalgia factor works, right? Partially. I don't think Brock is nostalgia. That's where this all started from. You said they should have gotten rid of Brock because Brock's contract is done and he's lost the nostalgia. He's out of his wrestling prime. And it's like, Brock's not nostalgia. Edge, 100% nostalgia. But that's because he was gone for 9 years. Edge would still be going right now if he didn't get as injured as he got, in my honest opinion.
100%. I believe that.
Okay. So then the only reason it's nostalgia is because he was gone due to injury. Right? Kurt Angle was nostalgia when he was brought back to WWE. And they used him for a little bit, and then they moved on. But he wasn't done in matches or anything like that because he really
couldn't. Maybe a manager or something like that, a road manager.
Right. So you're telling – so your nostalgia argument is what I'm saying is bullshit. Because you're saying that the people that they're using now are for nostalgia when it's no, they're the stars of the industry right now. 10 years from now, they'll be nostalgia. That's who they'll use. While the main star, because I thought you were trying to talk about how they're not making stars right now. And I'm just like, yeah.
They aren't really.
What are you talking about? Not God, why can't I think of his Andrade?
Who's
Andrade looks like a – Andrade's being made to look like a fucking badass right now, right? Andrade's relatively new. Drew McIntyre is relatively – return new. This whole new persona is Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre looks like a fucking badass right now. Rhea Ripley was just at WrestleMania defending the NXT Championship. We said how amazing they made her look in that match. Charlotte Flair is a current star right now. Becky Lynch is a current star right now. Bayley, Sasha Banks, these are girls that were in NXT 5 years ago that are fucking running things right now. There are stars, and they are younger stars, and they are stars that came out of WWE's developmental system. If you're looking for people that you wish they were putting up more, sometimes they just don't get over, man, and sometimes, I'll be very honest, WWE does destroy them. But at the same time, people get over how they get over. Rhea Ripley is one of those people that is out of left field that is coming through looking like a fucking tanker truck.
I wouldn't say that because I didn't watch you. I watched you next to UK, so that's the only reason that I kind of go like, I knew where Ripley was coming.
It's not about who you knew was coming. It's, you just said they're not building stars now, and they are building stars now.
But just going to say, the only place they are really doing it is on SmackDown. Not SmackDown at all. They usually do it on NXT. Because Rhea Ripley, like, let's say she did her run in NXT UK. She was doing her run, and then all of a sudden she's on WrestleMania. And I felt like I already told you, I feel like putting that title on Charlotte was a slap to the face of an entire NXT women's division. But I'm not going to go into that one. But like I say, you built her to look so great on NXT, but then when you pull her up onto the main stage, you give her the L. I don't think that was the smart thing to do, because Listen, if you want to get into that, the whole NXT crowd compared to, like, you always said this, the NXT crowd is way smaller and way more intimate than a Raw, SmackDown, WrestleMania crowd, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, but we also said that that women's division in NXT is way better than anything they have on both Raw and SmackDown.
No, I'll say they're utilizing it better. I won't say it's better.
Outside of the four horsewomen, who do they really utilize proficiently on that women's roster on SmackDown? Proficiently to where the point where, like, oh, you don't feel like they're just thrown against one of these four women?
Outside of the four horsewomen?
Yeah.
Well, Ruby Riott was getting a great run there before she got injured. Okay.
Since she's been back, what's she done?
Again, she's got come back to be thrown into a storyline. I'm sorry, was she supposed to have a title shot already? I mean, was she not supposed to?
No, but like I said, no, like I said, if you like, scrap the whole storyline with her, what those Riott Squad thing, the whole Riott Squad, that should have resulted somewhere outside of just the Elimination Chamber where they all just got their ass tore up by fucking Shayna Baszler.
And then they released Sarah Logan.
But you could have did something between Elimination Chamber and to WrestleMania with that.
Ember Moon was great until she was being showcased quite well until she was injured. Nia Jax came back as being pushed really hard. Bianca Belair right now looks amazing.
Bianca Belair hasn't done anything on Raw or SmackDown.
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross are now the women's tag team champions. Alexa Bliss is still being featured. You said who?
I'll give you Alexa Bliss. I'll give you Alexa Bliss for sure.
Nia Jax what?
No, I said, what has Bianca Belair done since coming up to Raw besides have a six-person tag?
2 weeks ago, really weird. 2 weeks ago? What are you fucking
doing? A really weird. They put her on more of a managerial position. They only put her in that. They put her. She had minimal time inside that six-person tag.
The first, she also it was a restart. It's a match that was restarted three fucking times, which was stupid.
Yeah,
in the first place. But she also in there had a singles match against Zelina Vega, where she was showcased lifting her up just as she normally does. She fucking looked like a goddamn badass in the Royal Rumble before she was even called up. What are you talking about? Smitty, she's been on Raw for 2 weeks. How are you saying she's not getting a push?
I don't think she's getting a push per se. I think that she's getting featured, not a push.
Made to look weak. You're saying, what are they doing with anyone outside of the four horsewomen? When Bianca Belair ran through that fucking Royal Rumble looking like a beast and was tied for the most eliminations with Shayna Baszler. I fully agree that they shit the bed when Shayna didn't take that title off of Becky at WrestleMania, or the way that it ended without having Shayna just take a DQ. Shayna taking a DQ would have, I agree, made more sense than taking that roll-up loss that did make her look weak at the end of WrestleMania. But even still, she looked tough in the Royal Rumble. She looked like a beast in the goddamn Elimination Chamber. Now you need to start building her up because you kind of made her look weak. So I'm guessing I'm just kind of – you're sitting in a moment, a thing where you're saying, this isn't happening, but it's not happening at a way you want it to, so you're saying it's not happening when it actually is.
Are you lagging still again?
No. I stopped.
And I was – okay. What was that? I had one of my phone, like, because I did switch my phones over from yours to my mom's for the hotspot.
Do you have a response to what I said?
No, because you stopped. You didn't finish your statement or question.
No, I did.
That's why I asked you, were you lagging?
I said, no, I wasn't lagging, and I did finish my statement. I said, because it's not happening the way you want it to, you're saying it's not happening, but it is. I just named off five different women that they put over outside of the four horsewomen on WWE television, including major pay-per-views.
I'll give you Alexa Bliss for sure. And I say Nikki Cross just kind of riding the coattails of Alexa at this point because they had nothing else
for
her.
She's a champion. She's a two-time women's tag team champion.
Oh, fuck. I was about to say, so was Marty Jannetty, but Marty Jannetty and the Rockers never got an official title run. They got
I can't get too mad about things that are happening with a lot of these people, because now we're over a month into this whole thing and they're kind of slowing things down as a whole anyway. Like,
right.
You know, you only see maybe 3-4 matches a night now, even on a 3-hour episode of Raw, and they're just kind of putting things at a halt. So, like, you know, for me, I'm just kind of like, no, you know.
I'll be honest though, man, there are some of these that I love the fact that I'm getting 4 segment matches with Aleister Black and Apollo Crews. What a great really fucking match that was, mm-hmm. right? This is actually something, this might be a huge blessing in disguise, them having to go without crowds and then with a very limited staff. Because again, you saw how well Apollo Crews looked on that Raw. Then,
and they got him a qualifier match for Money in the Bank.
Right. Then you want to fucking cut to this week. And you saw, I almost said Deonna, but Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. The promo that Sonya Deville cut on her, on Mandy, was amazing. You gave her a microphone and you didn't have any interruptions. It was just them talking and you're sitting back going, this is wonderful to watch. There you go. Yeah, there's two more women that are in a major fucking role on something right now. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. Where'd Nick go?
Yeah.
Nick just disappeared. Bye, Nick. Miss you. Miss Nick. Remember when Nick was here? Oh, so fun. It was good times, wasn't it?
Like 3 seconds ago. Yeah.
All right. So we'll get out of this, but we are going to go into something that is – hey, there's Nick. Nick, welcome back. What happened?
I pushed the button on my AirPod and it hung up.
Nerd. You idiot. So let's go into something, that is a major thing. Like, so again, we were just talking about it, this no crowd, lightly staffed, not as many people, having matches go for quite a few segments, and, is working for things on Raw and on SmackDown. NXT has always been good, in our eyes. But now there is something else being majorly affected. This year, we saw WrestleMania go 2 nights for the first time. They said it was the biggest WrestleMania, too big for 1 night. And that was because they had to figure out how to work everything during this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. Well, there's another problem with this. The state of California has announced that they weren't going to do large gatherings of sports or anything like that, concerts and stuff, for a year. They announced this in late April, mid-April, well, right around now, like within this week, sorry. It's currently April 19th, so they probably announced it in the middle of this week that we had going on. They said a year till mid-April.
Wow.
Yeah. So because of that, WrestleMania 37 in Hollywood is looking like a what the fuck, because that's supposed to be going on March 28th, 2021.
Yeah.
Which is a couple weeks before this ban's supposed to end. Now, granted, we don't know anything, right? If there's a vaccine is said to be about a year away as well, okay? According to what the scientists are saying, you know, because vaccines are, you have to develop them, you have to test them, then you have to get approved. It's very possible that these can be approved faster if testing is done on a wide scale and there's a lot of results and everything looks good. There's also a possibility that it won't be.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, and I'll read this, it's from Wrestling Inc. We love Wrestling Inc. Here's the article written by Josh Gannon, or Gagnon, I can't pronounce that last name. Oh, look at there, Smitty. You can't hear whatever he's doing.
I'm grabbing my charger.
But I was just saying that, like, wherever you put the stuff, we can hear everything, so we can hear, just go on mute. Mute yourself, buddy.
All right.
So here's the report. WrestleMania 37 is scheduled to take place at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California on March 28, 2021, but as noted earlier this week, that may not happen, either due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic or the potential SoFi Stadium construction delay. That's crazy. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti confirmed on Wednesday the city may not authorize large events for 1 year, which would be well until 2021. It's difficult to imagine us getting together in thousands anytime soon, said Garcetti at a coronavirus briefing. We've got many, many miles to walk before we're going to be back in those environments. Large gatherings, such as concerts and sporting events, may not be approved in a city for at least 1 year. SoFi Stadium also announced the grand opening for July 25th and 26th was pushed back to a future date in 2021. WrestleVotes reported earlier today that WWE has already begun researching a plan B for an alternative venue to host WrestleMania 37 in case WWE is not able to put on the show in California. The report noted it's too early to speculate on exact locations or details. This year's WrestleMania 36 was moved from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa to the Performance Center. So I guess, Nick, we'll start off with you, man. Either construction delaying it opening, either this coronavirus pandemic stopping it, do you think WWE should look for another city to do this in? Something that maybe isn't at hit as hard that possibly could be open and functioning? Because California was one of the top three states for a very long time as far as cases, right? Currently, I think Michigan is above it. Michigan is like top three in deaths and everything like that. It's pretty fucking horrible. But I think California has fallen to like number five in cases, which means obviously they're clearing up because they're dropping down the line. But then there's all these other states that don't have as many cases. So maybe should WWE look there? Should WWE even still be pushing forward with this? Your thoughts, sir?
Man. I mean, right now, the way it is, I don't think that you can – like, okay, my thought process, and, you know, obviously by any stretch of the imagination, I don't know what all goes into planning this shit. But – you know, my first thought is, okay, well, we're scheduled to have this March 28th. If they're telling me that they're not going to reopen all this stuff for a year, let's try and push it back till April 28th. We'll just push back WrestleMania a little bit this year. We'll kind of reconfigure some things here. No big deal. I don't know if that's feasible, but on paper, initially, that sounds like the way to go. But I think that you have a very small window to figure that out. So, like, come the end of May, if you don't know some more details to help you make that decision, I think you have to go to a different state because from what I've heard, California is the only state that's kind of come up with that decision. So I think you have to go to another state and push the California thing back to 2022, especially considering they're not even done building it and they don't know when they're going to be done building.
I will say that according to the guidelines for opening states that have been put out by the president, I fully agree with it, right? These guidelines make sense. They're phased openings. There's four phases. Each phase is determined based on 2 weeks of – like before you get to phase one, you have to go through – these 14 days of guidelines, and that's 14 days of cases are falling, hospitalization is falling, deaths are falling, consistently declined for 14 straight days. And before you get into phase one, every hospital has to be working at a non-emergency style basis. Like it's just normal operations. It's not like, oh my God, there's 75% of beds are filled. It's normal, regular hospital operations. So that's before you can even go into phase one. And then apparently each phase is supposed to be taking those same guidelines for 14 days. So you can go 14, 14, 14. If something spikes, back to shit, that may work phase one, depending on how it is. As a fucking plan, I think that makes sense because it's all about promoting everything going down and opening as that happens. So it's very possible that when California hits these phases, and by the way, phase three, I want to say, was when they started saying they could have you know, larger gatherings. Phase four is when everything's open. So you got to think each one of these is about 2 weeks. So that's, you know, about a 2 month opening period of everything stays fine. Everything goes down. And then you're back to being normal, I guess, right now, what you would call it, in about 2 months. So let's say California hits that, right? Hits that not in 2 months, because obviously they're one of the hardest hit states. So they're probably not going to even be able to get into phase one until maybe June, maybe July, depending on, you know, how it looks for them. So their 2 months could be September, October. I don't think WWE has to make a decision until WWE is ready to start selling tickets, which I believe, if I remember correctly, this year for this WrestleMania didn't happen till right around November. I think they put it out like usually 4 months in advance with the ticket packages, because they put the packages up and then they put the single tickets up. And I think the single tickets went on sale December. Like, they gave it a month, because I was looking at them and I was like, yep, this. And then like 4 weeks later, those packages were gone. And I was like, what? And then they had the single tickets for sale.
I thought they usually put up like at least post something about the packages for WrestleMania after SummerSlam, usually, don't they? Sometime around there.
They announced that they'll be going on. They didn't go on sale that early, though. As a matter of fact, no. After SummerSlam was the Royal Rumble packages, because that's when we start looked into those, because we were thinking of doing Z's bachelor party at the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it was the Royal Rumble August. Yep, they pushed that Royal Rumble. So, Nick, I agree with you. I think that WWE should be thinking about this, but I don't think they need to do that as early as you said. I think that this year was obviously a way different thing for WrestleMania. Tickets were already sold. Packages were already sold. People had flights booked, obviously everything. I think WWE can get away with looking at things and waiting things out as long as there's no tickets to sell yet, or they're not going behind on selling tickets. If come October, November, when they're putting everything in, and because obviously there's a set, you got to, okay, this is the layout. Here's how we're selling it. Here's the tiers. They got to figure that out. When they start going into that in detail, probably about a month ahead, I think that's when they have to look at if California is not ready to say they're opening up into a phase four by then. I think then you got to go, okay, who is for sure going to be ready to do this, and maybe go there. So I agree with you. Smitty, what do you think?
I agree with you guys, but I also think that this man being the mad man he is, he probably will decide to move Mania before he pushes it back.
No one said anything about pushing it back. That's what it was. It was like switching it and going to a different state before.
I think they'll probably switch to a different state before. Like Nick said, I agree with you guys. Say it'll be smarter for him to push it back if they need be, but I think they'll probably more likely switch states if they can't get a response fast enough.
I had mentioned like the idea of them pushing it towards the end of April, but
oh, okay. So okay. Then, Smitty, we'll start off with you. Give me a state that you think would be okay to switch to. Obviously, I'm not saying go do coronavirus research or anything like that, but we know which states are major, right? New York, New Jersey, Florida,
Louisiana,
California, Michigan, obviously here. What's one that you're hoping or you would think is a possibility for them to relocate to?
They got the headquarters out in Connecticut, so maybe they'll go somewhere out there, maybe. Make it close to home.
Oh, in the area that is infected?
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Not New York.
It's still right over there. I'm trying to I can't find the
maybe somewhere like Denver.
Denver? Oh.
Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, do something out there. okay. Nick, what about you?
Short answer, Detroit. I think I like the idea of Minnesota. The new Viking stadium is really nice. It's fucking huge. And I think, and it's indoors. So, you know, the weather can be a little sketchy out, you know, in that Midwestern area. So I think that would be a good spot.
Okay. I'm just went in to look up the cases and everything like that. Yep. Where is?
What about DC? Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is still one of the higher ones right now. I know that it's actually number 4 right now. Michigan is number 6 oh. as far as cases.
So we're under Cali now, huh?
Yep. Connecticut's actually in the top 10 because, again, it's over there.
Where's Colorado?
Colorado is under Ohio, which is – wait, it's down there with only 9,000 cases. So that's a possibility. I like Colorado. It's a good call. Same with – I'm trying to find Minnesota. Minnesota's way down there. Minnesota.
What about Wisconsin? Oh, Green Bay. Do it at Lambeau. Actually, no, it's too cold. It's too cold.
Yeah, for WrestleMania, bro? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I just thought about that. That'd be way too cold. Lambeau's outside.
Fuck it.
There's obviously states that are in the lower parts that are not too bad. Arkansas,
Hicksville.
Yeah, and, you know you could okay, do so it.
You
at,
can't
like...
go to WrestleMania.
I'm trying to now
without my nine
huge stadiums that they could fill, and like I run a lot of college stadiums through my head, but then you run into the issue of bleacher seats, and I don't necessarily know if that's going to be very. Very good for.
That's about. What about Hawaii? Because they've never. I think they've never done anything in Hawaii.
They. That's true. They haven't done anything in Hawaii. Yeah. And Hawaii is way down there. Only 568 cases.
Alaska.
Alaska. Even lower. 312 cases. Wyoming. Well, you're probably is 9 right now.
And also, I can say maybe you even take it to Canada for one.
You know, man, I've been saying they should go international for WrestleMania for a while now. And even, like, with Drew McIntyre being your champ, it makes it look like there's more possibility of going to Europe again. I'm in agreement with you. I think that if they move it, they need to move it to a state that doesn't – that's not going to be a problem, that is very possible to be as open as possible for this. I think it'll kill it if they're not. Somewhere like it's crazy to look at. What as much as I would want them to be in the Midwest, I wouldn't want them to be in the Midwest until late April, until a late WrestleMania. You know, I just feel like that's kind of setting yourself up for failure. So only like I would love them to announce Michigan's Big House because Michigan's Big House would be their greatest attendance. Period. There's no college stadium bigger. It already holds over 100,000 fans. Just for football, you then put in the seats on the field, and that dramatically jumps that number.
Right? It's 120,000 people.
if yeah, and you destroy your own. But again, that's assuming a WrestleMania can be held in that kind of weather, right? It's a huge problem. So yeah. I agree with you guys.
They move, say, don't move it until I say don't move it immediately. Just They probably will remove it if they don't get a response in like the last month, the next month or so. They'll make that decision.
That's not even going to be a discussion until a couple months down the line. So back to the releases. Let's talk about some of the fallout from these releases and things like a couple of them have put shirts up on pro wrestling tees. You know, these are major WWE stars that are now free to put their own merch out there. Zack Ryder, Heath Slater, and Drake Maverick have already put some stuff out on pro wrestling tees.
Good Brothers as well.
So Zack Ryder had the biggest selling shirt of a day when he had the hashtag not there from his release tweet to not, because it went from still here to not there. Then now his not there shirt was the biggest selling shirt of the day at pro wrestling tees. Are you guys excited for to see what these guys are doing outside of it? Or like, do you think that it could be a real good thing, Nick?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think it definitely could be a good thing. I mean, some of these guys have a good amount of talent that they can hold their own. They might not have been over as they wanted to be with a WWE crowd, but if they're utilized in a different manner and they have a whole different angle going into another company, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it would be a game changer, but it's definitely going to make things a lot more interesting in the next 6 months or so.
That reminded me of that tweet. I mean, that meme to say Zack Ryder goes to AEW, teams with Cody for the next Jericho Cruise.
In the top 10 shirts sellers of the week on pro wrestling tees, Matt Cardona, who is formerly known as Zack Ryder, number 4. Number 10 is Heath Miller, Heath Slater, I Got Fired shirt. Now
that's what I wanted to get.
Now what's great about this, because obviously it's in the style of the I Got Kids, but it's I Got Fired. There is no t-shirt higher than Ryder's outside of a mystery grab bag for $8. Then there's a grab box, AEW grab bag mystery shirt for $10. And then the Le Champion bandana from Chris Jericho, which is only $15. Ryder's shirt is only $20. Like, he didn't even throw the $25 up there. Like, most shirts are $24.99. He threw his in for $20. Heath's is $24.99. And technically, again, even in front of him, those three things, and then a bot shirt for $4. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. His is number 6 shirt overall for shirts, specific shirts to buy. So you got your number 1 shirt being Ryder, Matt Cardona, and your number 2, your number 6 shirt being Heath. Rockstar Spud is down there with the Spud 24/7 shirt, obviously playing on, you know, the when it said
24/7
Maverick 24/7. Yeah. And then there's a Gallows and Anderson Good Brothers shirt down there as well.
And I think Brian Myers has one as well.
What?
Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins, he has one as well.
Yeah, but it's not in – I'm talking about the top-selling shirts. That's why I mentioned it, because it's not in the top selling. So, again, you have at 6 was Heath, 11 plus 4 is 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 is Spud. So 3 of the top 20 selling shirts of the week so far since they've been put out are these guys that were just released. Smitty, do you think, obviously, so it also came out this week that these releases, anyone on the main roster has 90 days. 90 days, no, the 90 days no-compete clause is in effect, but I believe they're getting paid for it as well.
I thought NXT, they said they were getting 30 days paid.
NXT is 30 days. thanks for just going out there, Smitty. I was going to. So main roster, anyone on Raw, anyone on SmackDown, and they were released 90 days. 30 days for NXT.
So you got the 90 because are they getting paid like the NXT people are? The NXT people are reportedly getting paid for their 30 days.
I believe so.
I don't know if they're doing that for the Raw SmackDown guys.
Nothing I saw has been said about that. So if you're even if you're just living off of the t-shirts, not a bad little gimmick to have right there. What do you think, Smitty?
If they can keep selling those shirts, yeah. That's until this is over, it'll be a good thing for them. But then when it is all over, the world's their oyster in this wrestling world. It's so much out there now. I never really thought about it. I forgot this.
If it opens, yeah.
So I've thought about the whole Zack Ryder thing. Him well, Matt Cardona. Him and I could actually see him in AEW somewhere. Because he's good friends with Cody, and you know how they pretty much get their friends in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, sell the shirts, and I do agree with Smitty. The world is kind of their oyster moving forward. And, you know, I know we talk a lot about, oh, this guy could go to AEW, but I don't really hear Impact being talked about too much.
Oh, and I think, I did.
Well, but not as much as like you hear us mention AEW or NWA for a lot of these places to go. Impact seems to me to be like an afterthought. Or even like New Japan, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but New Japan obviously isn't where they were a year or two ago. You know what I mean? So guys like Gallows and Anderson going over there, or even some of these other guys that have a lot of talent, go over there and try and build that brand more. I mean, yeah, there's a lot. There's more wrestling going on now and more opportunity for them to make a decent amount of money than there ever was before. So,
yeah, when everything opens back up, it's going to be wonderful just to watch. Hopefully some of these guys get put into a spot where they are able to just
shine.
Yeah, just explode. Not so much shine, but to truly put their talent in the spotlight. Now, I think that's different than shining, only because not because I want to argue with Smitty. I agree with what Smitty said, but you can like okay, people can get a chance to shine, and that's fine. But I don't want that. I don't think they should. What they can do is just a chance. I think it is them to have career-setting momentum, similar to what Drew did when he was first fighting. Drew went on the indie scene and made himself a star, to where WWE was like, "We need to bring him back," and then they kept going with his star, even though there was ebb and flows to it. He is now your WWE champion. He was your NXT champion, came up to main roster, flowed, got injured, you know, things like that. But again, to the point is he truly made himself a star. It wasn't just a chance to shine. And I really think, look, the guy who set the bar for getting yourself over is Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder. He did it on his YouTube show before WWE even thought of fucking with YouTube. He got himself over. He was the internet champion, had himself a belt made and everything. I can just imagine the ideas that are flowing through this guy's head right now. There is one thing that I wanted to mention. AJ Styles was doing a game stream and on Mixer, and he spoke about the cuts.
Nerd, you gotta go to Twitch. Oh, gaming stream. And like he said, you said he was doing on Mixer. I'm like, nerd, go to Twitch like everybody else.
So he says that one hurt really bad. He's talking about Gallows and Anderson. The only way I can explain it is that these guys are my family and I couldn't take care of my little brothers. I didn't manage to do that. And I feel responsible for them being released. It's devastating. Nick, what are your thoughts on what AJ said?
I get where he's coming from. You know, those guys have been, you know, a pact for a long time. And you know, they're good friends in the ring, good friends outside of the ring. So I get where he's coming from. But, I mean, he also – I don't think he should really take that much of the blame because he doesn't have a whole lot of pull in WWE to – in a creative aspect. So like, oh, well, have them do this and let's do whatever we can to push these guys and get them over. That's not really up to him. I mean, he can kind of put in his two cents and you know, give his thoughts as best as he can, as best as we know that he's able to. But I don't think he should get down on himself too much about it. And again, this is another blessing in disguise for them. They might be a little upset that they're losing their jobs with WWE, but you know, they did really well in New Japan and now they're going back. So
Smitty.
I agree with Nick to that, pretty much to the extent that AJ kind of being a little bit hard on himself about them getting released. I feel like, but also feel like this is an opportunity for them to refine their passion for the business instead of just being there and just being somewhere.
All right.
AJ know he has a high stock in the company as well. He didn't want to say, he definitely didn't want to say anything that's going to upset anybody.
All right. So let's move on to WWE's upcoming pay-per-view Money in the Bank. There's a few things that are set officially for this. Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship. Bayley versus Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And then we have some of the Money in the Bank ladder participants set. For the women, it's automatically already set that Asuka, Baszler, Nia Jax, and Dana Brooke are going to be in there. Yes, Dana Brooke are going to be in there. The next match is Lacey Evans versus Sasha Banks to see who goes into the Money in the Bank ladder match. Then there's another one that's to be determined. And then Daniel Bryan is the first one announced for the men's Money in the Bank. Then we have Rey Mysterio or Murphy, Aleister Black or Austin Theory, Apollo Crews or MVP, Drew Gulak or King Corbin, and then there's another one that's to be determined. Let's start off with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Smitty, who are you thinking is the smartest idea to win the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Hold on.
For what? What am I holding on for? Oh, because he's leaving. All right, fine. That's whatever.
Oh, no, I wasn't leaving. I was kicked out.
You were what?
I feel like I was kicked out or something.
No, you were there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I wasn't leaving. Because, like, literally, it just, like, my screen just went out, and I just had to lock myself back on.
Oh, yeah, because you have a Chromebook.
So, the smartest person to put that on, I think we've already went over this when it comes to Money in the Bank, best to put it on, like, a up-and-coming heel. So, let's say, really, no up-and-coming, like, probably Nia Jax with the case probably would make sense. And especially if you use, like, a way to, if somebody jump shows. And have Nia come over and cash in on Bayley.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, I kind of like that Nia Jax idea, but I don't know. I wasn't, you know, a year ago a huge Lacey Evans fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that she's also a good choice for it because I think that she's starting to get a pretty good fan base, at least based on what I saw before this whole thing happened. You know, I can't really judge that now because there's no fucking crowd reaction. But I like the storyline they're doing with her. I think it would work. I mean, not to be too cliche, but the All-American Marine coming up, getting the chance with the Money in the Bank briefcase, I think it kind of makes sense. That's a good feel-good story for where we're at right now. So I think Lacey would be a good choice.
I think Baszler would be a great choice. Unless you're going to put that belt on Baszler really fast at the SummerSlam pay-per-view. Shayna Baszler taking that Money in the Bank case and stalking whoever the champ is, Becky specifically right now. I think Shayna Baszler would play a great stalking role, similar to what Brock Lesnar played when Brock Lesnar held that briefcase. It's like he can just, you know, just show up.
You doing a Brock box, Nick?
Yeah, he's doing the Brock
box. Doing the box.
Brock box.
So Shayna Baszler, I think, would be a great person to have as a stalker because she's just this, you know, fucking killer. I like Shayna Baszler with it. Men's Money in the Bank. What, Smitty?
As a, I can agree with the Shayna thing too. Like with Nia, if you want to build her as a beast, have her stalk both. Like said, Brock when he had a shot at both champions. I think that we had like she's like when it comes to Shayna, I don't see her having a reason to stalk Bayley or whoever's the SmackDown champ at the time. I don't think this, that raw.
Like,
she's got. I can see her stalking Becky. I don't think I can see her stalking a SmackDown with a champ without a reason.
There's already a reason. What are you talking about?
Oh, look, I can see what reason was she talking SmackDown champion for?
Who beat, who did Shayna pin to win that triple threat match? Who did Shayna pin to win that triple threat match at Survivor Series? Bayley.
Did you pin Bayley? Oh, yeah, she did pin Bayley.
Yeah, there's a storyline set up automatically with that. I already beat you. I can beat you again.
Yeah, I forgot she did pin Bayley, and then Becky put it through a table.
I could see Shayna going for one of the titles come SummerSlam without the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then whoever has the briefcase trying to cash in, and Shayna being like, no, fuck that, and her just destroying everybody to take the title. Fuck the Money in the Bank statistics, all that.
That'd be sweet too.
I kind of think that. Also, like I think even with Sasha, if Sasha qualifies, Sasha with the case makes sense. Because they've been kind of slow burning this whole Bayley. Yeah, they've been slow burning this whole Sasha turn on Bayley thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Women's Money in the Bank actually is the lineup they have in there is really good. Like anybody with that case, pretty much makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like. I mean. I don't want to say it doesn't seem like anybody's thrown in. Obviously, Asuka's in there. It's maybe they'll finally think of something with Asuka, put her with this case. Dana Brooke seems like you're thrown in there.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
But again, it's not like there are people in there that are just going to be thrown in either match or have never been thrown in for these matches.
Yeah, sometimes the people they throw in end up doing really good in them.
Yeah. And they get over it. Like, and that's what we've said before. Like, man, look, you can argue it all you want, but there are matches that put you over and get you noticed to where the crowd jumps behind you. Granted, it's way different trying to figure it out now because that crowd is gone. But at the same time, look at the chatter on the internet. Look, it's not like the crowd is gone. It's just the crowd's not in the arena. You see the chatter on Twitter, who these people are talking about. Sony DeVille blew up from Friday, right? So it's just like if you would have saw that promo on in person, you'd have been like, holy fucking shit, Sonya Deville, you know, and then she gets over, you know, and that's what you're looking for. Now it's you're looking more for the metrics of the social media and what people are talking about, but shows you got over just in a different way. For the men's Money in the Bank match, Nick, we'll start with you. Daniel Bryan is already confirmed. And then you either got Mysterio or Murphy, Aleister Black or Austin Theory, Apollo Crews or MVP, Drew Gulak or King Corbin, and then there's another to-be-determined one who's not even mentioned. let's just go with the names that are mentioned. Daniel Bryan being the only one that's for sure in. Who do you think would be a smart person to put that briefcase on?
That's tough. I want to see Aleister Black go for the title. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to see him win the Money in the Bank. I just don't necessarily know if it like kind of fits who he is. But then again,
really? I mean, think it fits him perfectly.
Right well, now. Then I, on the other hand, I'm like, well, does it really matter? Because it kind of does. Like, I'm kind of split down the middle. So with all that, I will say Aleister Black for sure. I'm a big Aleister Black fan, and I'd like to see what he does with it. I think it's going to be a slow burn with him. He's not going to be somebody that just like, oh, fuck that, I'm going to jump out whenever I want. No, it's going to be a real slow burn with that.
I think it makes a lot of sense for him, and he's also my pick, but I think it makes so much more sense for him because he just jumped out of the come knock on my door if you want to challenge me gimmick to I'm going to come after you. Now him with the Money in the Bank coming after people, I think it would be genius. Smitty.
I really don't know yet. I want to know who's all in the match first. Like, I would like to see Aleister Black win.
That's why I said go with any of the names that are listed, even the ones that are set to this or this person. Who of the names listed do you look at going, this is a person that I would love to see this person win?
I would like to see probably, let's see, Mysterio's playing going against. Who's Mysterio going against?
Buddy Murphy.
Oh, even though I feel like Murphy's going, like they're going to put Mysterio in there. But I would like to see maybe Buddy Murphy get a shot at it. Just to see how, have an experiment. Like, it's not like they haven't experimented with the Money in the Bank case before.
Right. So, but that's who you think of all these people listed, Buddy Murphy should be the one to win?
I would like to, but I don't think he should be the one to win. I got to still agree with Aleister Black because there's also that factor of we don't know who that last qualifying match is.
But we also don't know if Aleister Black is even in the match because he's taking on Austin Theory.
Which is going to be a good match, man.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
Can't wait.
Austin Theory, man, he was on our radar from when he was in fucking Evolve Wrestling, and he's just, woo, baby. Yeah, he is good. He is good, as Booker T would.
Good! Chucky Ducky Quack Quack.
No, that's not Booker T.
Yes, it is.
Booker T. That's a Booker T. That's a something that Booker T stole from a comedian.
Oh.
It's not Booker T. He is a thief. He stole that shit. Fucking Shuggy Ducky Quack Quack. That's not Booker T. It's weird to me that he got that over. And it was a comedian that I used to watch on Def Comedy Jam. They used to fucking do that.
Whoa.
Which right? one? Yeah,
it was like, what? The original
version. Which one?
Chris Tucker. I don't know the comedian's name. I just know he was on. All right. That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Next week.
The Money in the Bank. What? Did you hear about the rumor? They said the whole climb the corporate ladder thing where they're having the Money in the Bank at WWE headquarters.
Oh, that's happening.
Yeah, they're doing a cinematic style match for the Money in the Bank matches.
That'd be sweet.
So pretty much they said they have to go there. It's going to start on the ground floor of WWE headquarters where they have a ring set up on the top on the roof, and they have to climb ladders to get to the briefcase.
Okay.
So this is what they're doing with the Money in the Banks this year.
Again, it's rumors. We really don't go into rumors for sure. It's like I saw.
Oh no! But SmackDown, they said that this is what they are going to do.
Yeah, they announced it on SmackDown.
How did I miss that?
They're going to start from the ground floor and work their way up to the top of WWE headquarters.
They're calling it a corporate ladder match.
Yeah. Climbing the corporate ladder.
Cool. Jesus Christ. Are we getting rid of the name because it was Jericho's idea?
Don't ask me.
All right. we'll talk more about this hopefully next week. More things coming in for the Money in the Bank. Obviously, things are going to be going further into stuff. I'll be honest. I'm kind of over this no crowd shows. I hate watching them. They're annoying to me. Like I said before, I think the crowd is 50%. And I think then there's the other 50% that's made up by little things. And maybe the performers are like 25%. Then the cameraman and everything, all that set up. But I think the crowd is a majority of this. And it's getting painful to watch wrestling without a crowd. I appreciate the shining moments that are in it. You know, Sonya Deville's promo, the Apollo Crews Aleister Black match. But, man, things like, you know, other parts of it is just like, I just wish there was a crowd for this moment. You could definitely tell where it's missing. So we'll talk about it next week, see what we got going on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening, so much for watching. Make sure you go to breakingdowntheRing.com. You can find all of our socials, find our merch, and everything that. We are your ring crew.
Smitty.
Coronic 19.
And me, the still almighty the one, Mikey himself. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for listening, for watching, and we are.